The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. I'm smiling. I'll tell you why here in a little bit. As often happens, something right before the show, it caused me to smile. So if you want to give me a call, all you're going to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to email me, it's info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And today's date is January 23rd, 2023. So, boy, oh boy, man, I can't believe February's sneaking up around the corner. Look at that. So if you want to give me a call, you can. All right, 877-207-2276. And you can email me at info@carm.org, info@carm.org. And let's see, there we go. I got radio questions, radio comments, and things like that. I'm sorry, just doing a simple things. So you can do that and just send me, say radio question, radio question or whatever it is, and in the subject line, and or radio comment, and that'll be fine, and I can get into that. So I was talking to the producer right before the show, and we're thinking about doing some other stuff, and I won't get into that right now, but he was telling me, I started laughing. He's telling me about an audio clip from someone, a woman pastor, and I'm just cracking up because it's so stupid that this woman, I don't know who she is, has gone to heaven hundreds of times and seen celebrities there. I'm just like, are you kidding me? That is awesome, you know? Yeah, that's right. I've been to heaven hundreds of times. I saw celebrities, and we sat down talking. You know, it's like, are you serious? Oh, my goodness. So, man, I wish I had enough money to be able to fly out and not in cargo hold like I have to fly all the time. Cargo hold, I'm 6 feet tall, and I got to fit in these seats and it's like I'm cramped up. And anyway, so... it'd be nice to go in a business class, get a little bit more room, and go to these churches and just go in there on a Sunday with a camera, like a pair of glasses that have a camera in them or something, or a lapel mic camera, whatever, and go in and take pictures and some audio of some of these wackos. That's right, I've been to heaven hundreds of times, and see celebrities there. It's like, really? That's what you're going to comment about, right? Man, if I went to heaven, I'd tell you, and I came back, I'd say, oh my goodness, I'm an unworthy servant. I'm an unworthy wretch, saved by the grace of God, kept by the grace of God. Oh man, I can't believe he let me come in there. And here I am telling you about the greatness of my Lord and Savior. Or, hey, I saw celebrities. You did right. So which one do you think is biblical? It's inexplicable. So I love that. What movie is that from? It's inexplicable. The Princess Bride? I don't know. Maybe someone who knows will be able to tell me. Because it's inexplicable. I can't get over it. Oh, man. I need to have a T-shirt, a good, comfortable, big T-shirt that says "So much heresy, so little time," and I need to have another one that says "So much stupidity, so little time." Oh man! All right, I can't help it. I'm sorry. I get a kick out of stupidity, I don't know. Maybe it's a defense mechanism. I've got a friend, Dave. This is true story. There's a word for it. I don't know what it is. It's a condition he's actually been diagnosed with. That when he is hurt in a lot of pain, he laughs. And there's an actual word for it. And there's a psychological thing where the pain receptors cross-pollinate with the cross-wire, whatever, with the funny bone. And he'll laugh. And when he gets hurt really bad. And I've seen it happen. I have seen. I remember once we're out in the backyard and we're doing some sprinkler work, right? So he happened to be the one. Oh, man, it's one of my favorite stories of all time. So he's pulling on this sprinkler head, right? It's one of those spring-loaded sprinkler heads. And I'm watching. I have my supervisor's hat on. I'm keeping a safe distance. And so he's down there. It's my sprinklers, too. And he's down in there digging. We got, you know, trying to fix the broken sprinkler head. And this one sprinkler head, it would not come up. It wasn't a little one. It was one of those big ones, you know, those massive ones for the corner or whatever. It was going to shoot 8,000 feet and all that kind of stuff. And he's got it down there. And we're twisting. I couldn't get it up. So he's tried. And so he gets down there. He's pulling this thing. He's pulling. And he's stretching this spring about a foot, and it let loose. Oh, man. Oh, wow. It slapped him in the fingertips, because he has fingertips around the whole thing. And it locked onto his fingertips, the springs. Not only slapped him slapped him hard, but then it clamped onto his fingerprint. All he could do was look at me and hold it up in the air and go, ooh, 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 like a monkey. And I'm telling you, I almost fell over. I almost died. I mean, I was laughing so hard. Oh, man. And here I am cracking up. There's no sympathy whatsoever. And the poor guy's in absolute pain. He's dying. So anyway, it was inconceivable. That's right. That's what Stephen says. So anyway, I still remember that. Every time I tell him, I start cracking up. And he recovered like 10 minutes later. He goes, I got no sympathy from you. I said, of course not. He said, are you kidding? It was too funny. And so it's kind of a running gag now. I'll say that because he lives in California and I'm in Idaho. I'll say, hey, why don't you come on up? And we'll work on sprinklers together. I'll get my supervisor's cap. And he goes, I'll be right up. Okay, sounds good. So, yeah, that's right. In fact, since I'm talking about stupidity like this, so he was up a week or so ago working on stuff. And so I sliced my finger, okay, and not really bad, about a quarter of an inch slice, not big enough for anything, bleeding. I'm just washing it out, doing all this stuff, right? And it stung, you know. It's like, what, you do stuff, okay. So, and you know, he's just kind of looking at it, kind of chuckling a little bit because, hey, I did something stupid, you know. I had a razor blade. They go, look at that. It was one of those. I cut myself. Like, man, what an idiot. And so, you know, we all do stupid things, right? So later that day, it was, you know, it wasn't bleeding anymore. We're at a hardware store, right? And we're trying to figure out how to get shelving up. And I reach into this rack of metal to grab this one piece. And I misjudged the distance. And I hit the corner of a piece of metal right on that wound. Oh, man. Oh, man. I mean, I'm hopping around in the aisle like, man, this is... And he's got no sympathy for me. He's laughing. And I'm sitting there. I'm crying, basically. I go, that hurt worse a second time than the first time. And after about a minute, you know, I was able to see straight. You know, I was like, man, that hurt. You know. And so he's cracking up, right? And, you know, I'm laughing, too, because it's so stupid. So with my other hand, I reach into the same pile, and I jam it into a corner of metal, and I'm doing the circle dance in the aisle again, jumping up and down. I can't help it. And he's cracking up, and I'm laughing because it's so stupid. I hurt myself twice inside like 1 minute. Oh, man, good times. So I hope you guys out there in Radio Land are laughing. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I got a lot of stupid stories like that. I want to write a book that says, the title is Stupid Things I've Done to Hurt Myself. And, you know, that'd be a good story in there. I got some good ones. Oh, yeah, I know. Don says I need a babysitter in a hardware store. It was like, it was too tough. No! You know, hey, it's what happens. Okay, I'm good. I'm good. I had a good time with those stupid stories. Hope you guys enjoyed that. She says she should bubble wrap me. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. Guys who build stuff, they're going, yep. Well, I got stories too. That is just what happens. Well, I got a stupid fishing story I could tell you. All right. Hey, look. It's inconceivable. That's what it is. It's inconceivable. And that's from Princess Bride, isn't it, Charlie? That's from Princess Bride. It's a great movie. It's inconceivable. I also like the line in there. He's just mostly dead. I like that line, and I just say he's mostly a heretic, and stuff like that. A lot of fun. All right. Now what am I going to do? Hey, there's no callers. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. You can also email me, and just put in the email, radio question, radio comment, and you can email it to info@carm.org, info@carm.org. Today is Tuesday, so I'm going to send a newsletter out tonight. And Thursday, we're probably going to finish up my Bible study I've been teaching on the book of Romans. And I think I have a debate tomorrow night, too. Let's see. I'm going to get in here. Look. Hold on. Where is today? Where's today? Come on. There we go. So, yeah, debate on the Trinity tomorrow. And I'm going to be doing tag team, that's right, with Andrew Rappaport and stuff. Oh, and by the way, I got a correction. So I said, I think it was yesterday I said, that I'll be down in Salt Lake City on February 10th. I was wrong. It'll be the 17th. That's when I'm going to be down in Salt Lake City, going to the Mormonism Research Ministry's new building that they have. It's in Sandy, and I'll be there on the 17th. 17th is on February. Come on, here we go. That's right. It'll on the 17th. I'm speaking at 9:00 in the morning. That's pretty tough for me, because like last night I'm awake at 3:00, and finally got to sleep around 3:30. Sorry, I got a sniffy nose because I'm laughing so much. I don't know how I'm going to make it on a Saturday at 9:00, being someplace in the morning, but I will. It'll be so tough, but I'll do it. So if any of you are interested in checking it out and you want to go down there, I'd love to meet you. You know, it'd be fun Saturday. Maybe even Laura would go if she would lower her standards. She lives in not too far from there. I'm not going to give the address or anything. So there you go. You can't wait for Matt on Standing for Truth tonight, or is it tomorrow? Tomorrow night, right? Isn't it tomorrow night? Isn't that what that is? Because tonight, I don't have anything on my calendar. Let me get over to my calendar, making sure. Yeah, that's right. I have nothing on my calendar for tonight. So, someone said, okay, it is tomorrow. All right, see. Whew. All right, I think we should get serious now. All right, let's get to Ron from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Welcome, Ron. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask a question about the predestination. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to understand. Okay. I can't quite understand it. You know, I'm trying to research it.
Okay, well, the word predestination or predestined is the Greek word proorizo. Occurs 5 times in the New Testament. And when we get back from the break, I will take a look at it, okay, because we got a break. So hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And you can also email me at info@carm.org, carm.org, info@carm.org. And just put in there, hey, radio question or radio comment, and then we'll check it out. All right, let's get back on the air with Ron. Ron, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So let me read you a quote from a theological dictionary. Okay, and it does it really well.
Yes,
I mean, I can explain it, but this does a really good job. Predestination,
God's actions in willing something to a specific result, also called foreordination. Some Christian theologians, particularly in the Reformed tradition, have seen it as indicating God's eternal decree by which all creatures are foreordained to eternal life or death. It may also be used synonymously with election and indicates God's gracious initiation of salvation for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, there's a little bit of difference. I would go with some of that, but it's good enough for that. So predestination is God bringing things to bear, causing things to occur, either directly or indirectly. That's the intro level of it. Okay? You with me so far?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. So as I said before the break, the word is proorizo in the Greek, and it occurs five times in the New Testament. So, let's see, where are those verses? I was just looking at them in the break. And where'd it go? Boy, I had them right there. So I'll find it. I have my notes. I'm going through all of my notes and stuff like this. And so what we see is that God is, well, look at this way. In Ephesians 1:11, it says that God works all things after the counsel of his will. So nothing can occur unless God has willed it. Now, within theology, we would say that God wills something by his direct action, and he wills something by his permissive action. So he wills to let people sin. He doesn't want them to sin, but he wills to allow it. It's his choice to allow it. So it's his will to allow people to disobey. So by direct and indirect means, by direct willing and indirect, God brings about whatever he desires. So in Acts 2:23, it says, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan. Now that's the word for also for predestination. It's because it's the same Greek word, proorizo. Delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men. So check this out. So God planned it, God predestined it, but they're the ones responsible. This man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to the cross, by the hands of godless men and put him to death. That's Acts 2:23. Here's Acts 4:27-28. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you appointed, or anointed, excuse me, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. Now, if you look at that, you'll see it says that God anointed Jesus and gathered Herod and Pontius Pilate. Those are two individuals, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. That's the people groups. To do, those individuals and groups, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And what they're talking about here is the crucifixion of Christ. So sin was predestined. But when we say it's predestined, we don't say that it's caused by God. So let me explain something. And I'm giving you a lot of info, but let me explain something. We have in theology different levels of causation. Oh, excuse me. Oh, yawn there. We have ultimate, proximate, and efficient causation. So I'm going to work from efficient up. So Adam and Eve were in the garden. Adam freely chose to rebel. No one forced him to eat the fruit. He is his own cause of his own sin. So we say he is the efficient cause. He's the agent of his own action. The proximate cause is the condition in which the sin occurred. The approximate conditions or the condition. So we would say that God put the garden there with the trees there, allowed the devil to come in. So God allowed this, and so he's the proximate cause, but not the efficient cause. So Adam alone is responsible for his own actions. God didn't make him do it. So this is the difference between what we call efficient and proximate causation. And ultimate causation is, well, that God made the universe, put the solar system and the planet there, and that's how come it's all there. It's the foundation of everything. All right, so when we say God predestines things, like the crucifixion, it's the ultimate and proximate conditions that are God's handiwork. But the efficient causation, the direct hand and action, is done by the unbelievers. That no one forced them to do this, but they did it. God knew it and worked it out. That's a whole other issue of bringing people to do things and stuff like that. We'll get into that right now. But they're the ones responsible, and God predestined it to occur. All right? I can go on, but I hope that kind of helps so far.
Yes, sir. I just remind you, you know, especially when it comes like to salvation, that's the biggest thing, you know.
Okay. Well, then let me go to the next verse I was going to show you. All right. This is Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Just as He, that's God the Father, chose us, that's the elect, in Him, that's Jesus. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. So election must come with predestination. In order for an individual to be saved, God must choose them in Christ from the foundation of the world, and then He brings about their belief, regeneration, salvation, through the predestining work that He does. And that's a varied system that God has. All right? And Romans 8:29 says this: those whom He foreknew, He also predestined. So the foreknown ones are also the predestined ones.
Okay.
And the last verse, Ephesians 1:11, also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. So anyone who claims to be a Christian and denies predestination is denying Scripture. And I know there's a lot of people out here who deny the idea that God chooses people for salvation and predestines them. I just showed you from the Scriptures where it's taught. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does that help?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, got any other questions or objections or, you know, whatever?
All right. No. I'm just trying to understand it. You know, I heard you talk about it and other people talk, and then I heard people, you know, talk against the truth.
Yeah, well, talking against is not good. Hey, hold on a sec. We got a break coming up. We got nobody waiting. Let's see what they say. Tell me what they say about talking against it, if you're still there. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned, and hope it'll be interesting. I'll see you right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Ron, are you still there?
Yes, sir. Sure am.
Okay. Ooh, all right, so I gave you a lot of stuff, and then you said people are arguing against it. Can you remember some of the stuff that they were saying?
Well, I know a lot of them, you know, they say that salvation is available to anyone, whosoever. And, you know, and I came across an article, which you've probably seen it before. Somebody, you were preaching false doctrines because of your predestination stuff you were talking about. Now, who was it?
But I was just reading the Scriptures. I mean, these people, they don't like God's sovereignty. They want their own. I'm like, come on, grow up, you know.
Right.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And I love to discuss this with people, because they'll go to John 3:16, you know, for example, and they'll say, "Well, God so loved the world that whosoever would believe," right? They say, "See, it means anybody who can't." Well, it doesn't say that, and that's not who. How do you know that's what it means? They don't realize that what they're doing is just reading into the text all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you go to John 3:16, for God loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes. Well, it actually says in the Greek is pos hopistuon. What it literally is, it doesn't have the word whoever in the Greek. That's the Greek word, hos. It's not there. It's pos, ha, pistuon, all the believing one. That all the one believing. It doesn't say how they come to believe. It just says if they believe, well, then they won't perish. Well, we agree.
Right.
The predestination people agree. That's right. But God grant that they believe. Philippians 1:29. I mean, this is what the Bible says, and I show this to them, and I get people just hating what I say because they're humanists, because they use their own ideology, their own feelings, their own sensibilities to determine biblical truth. They don't realize they're doing it, but that's exactly what's happening. It's not good, you know?
Yes, sir.
So, yeah. It's what it says. You got to go with what it says.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, just call me Matt. Matt's great. Oh, yeah, Matt's fine.
Yeah, okay. Yes, sir. It's a habit.
I know.
But
yeah, just not used to it.
Matt,
but I get it. Go ahead. Yeah.
Now, if I wanted to research this, how would I do it? That's my biggest thing. I want to more look into it. You got any recommendations for doing that?
Yeah. Yes, you could go to. I would do this. Let's see. I'll make sure it gets the right address. BlueLetterBible.com. BlueLetterBible.com. Okay.
I'm familiar with that.
And it has all kinds of stuff there, and it's free. So you can type in a verse. Like, for example, you can go to Romans 8:29, and you can pick the King James if you want. Or you can pick the, I'm going to do this, the ESV, and you hit the thing. And then what happens is it comes up with tools, and you can look up the word predestined in there, and look up it, and it has an interlinear. Has a, you can do a big study that way. Just learn how to use that thing, and it'd be great.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Easy to do.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it, Matt. And by the way, I've become a supporter of you every month now.
Oh, well, thank you. That's really nice. I appreciate that. Yeah, really, we do appreciate that because, you know, we do need it, and thanks. So good.
No problem.
All right, man.
All right, you have a good night, sir.
You too. You too, man. God bless. All right. Well, that was a good call. It was a good call. Now, you know what I'm going to do is, since we're on that topic, how about if I do a little bit of teaching on it, okay? A little bit more teaching on this idea of God in his sovereignty. This is not something that's taught in churches that I'm aware of. I have never heard that I can recall a sermon or a series that have focused on the sovereignty and greatness of God and his decrees. I've never heard it. If I were a pastor again, you know, every now and then, not every day, of course, but, you know, maybe once a year or whatever, once every couple of years, I would probably teach something specific on it because it's so important. But we know that God predestines. Did you also know that God chooses individuals for salvation? People say, no, he only chooses groups of people, and it's up to you and your free will. It's more humanist philosophy. That's what that is. This is John 13:18. This Jesus says, I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread hath lifted up his heel against me. So he knows whom he has chosen. Jesus says that. And the Greek word is eklegomai, to pick out, choose for oneself, choosing out of many things. Then we can go to Acts 9:15, where, you know, Paul the Apostle, he got knocked off his horse and all that stuff. And, you know, he's sent to the tanner, Simon, and he says, I don't trust this guy. And verse 9, this is Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. So he's a chosen instrument. And the word there, the Greek, is eklege. It occurs 6 times, and it's translated as election and chosen and varying things. And Romans 11:7, what then? That which Israel is seeking for is not obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Colossians 3:12, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in God. So that is right there. I mean, it's what it says. And different translations, I've got 10 listed here of this one I just read. God chose you, God hath from the beginning chosen you, he chose you for salvation. It all says the same thing. Chose you for salvation. So that's what the Bible says. He's chosen you. And does God elect and choose people and individuals? Yeah, he does. The word eklektos, which is elect, to elect somebody, election, which goes with predestination. So we know that Abraham was chosen specifically as an individual by God. Jacob was also chosen. That's Romans 9:10-13. Judah was chosen. That's, you know, I get references. Moses was chosen. Zerubbabel. Witnesses to Christ's resurrection were also chosen, as was Matthias and Paul. And there's many interesting verses about this, being chosen. The elect, the chosen ones. Matthew 24:22, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Matthew 24:24, to mislead, if possible, even the elect. God will gather his elect from the four winds. And, you know, all these verses, I'm just going to give you the addresses. And we see the word for chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Rufus is chosen in the Lord. Those who have been chosen of God. Paul endures all things for the sake of the chosen. And we have another word, to choose, to select, to elect. Paul is a chosen vessel. God chose to love Jacob, and he hated Esau. God has remnants of believers due to his choice. He goes on and on and on like this. So this is why I believe it. It's why I teach it. Because that's what it says. I can't tell you how many times I've had discussions with people where they say, no, I refuse to believe in a God who would choose people for salvation. He says, okay, well, that's okay. If you want to refuse to believe in the God of the Bible, he would never do that. And then I read scriptures to them. And you know what so many of them do? Refuse to believe it. Now that's a problem. I read the scriptures to them, and they reject the scriptures. Sometimes what I'll do is I will say the verse without quoting the reference in the middle of a sentence, you know. I might say, well, I believe that God works all things, you know, after the counsel of his will. I was just quoting Ephesians 1:11. And I have people say, no, they don't. He does not do that. And I'll say, well, I believe he makes all things, even the wicked, for the day of destruction. No, he would never do that. I just quoted Proverbs 16:4. So I'll do that with them sometimes, and they will reject God's word. Let me ask you out there, are you rejecting God's word in this area? I mean, are you saying, no, God would never do that of individuals? Yes, he would. I just read the verses and proved it. It's right there. So what's your choice? What do you do? Do you choose to submit to God's word or submit God's word to your preferences? That's a question you got to ask and answer. Okay. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. I hope you're enjoying the show and the teaching. All right, there we go. Let's get to Roy from Durham, North Carolina. Roy, welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. Boy, fix that chair.
I am really not trying to be confrontational. I'm just trying to understand the predestination, chosen. Mm-hmm. Let's take it to the ultimate extreme of if you're chosen, how do you know you're chosen? How do you know you're chosen? I mean,
well, because I believe.
You're an amazing Bible. Your knowledge is incredible. But, you know, where do you get your blessed assurance, as us Southern Baptists love to?
Well, I get it from Scripture. I get it from Scripture. Now, 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written so you may know you have eternal life, so you can know. Mm-hmm. Well, if God
how do you know
saves you...
That's where that's just something I have a hard time...
Let me explain.
Predestination. Okay.
Well, let me explain. Because the chosen ones believe. Okay? There you go.
Okay. You know, I am not a Bible theologian. I'm just somebody right. trying to understand, okay? That's where I'm coming from. And you know, okay, so... What's the point of evangelizing or preaching the word if God already knows who he's going to pick? He's going to pick them anyway. I mean, what's, you know, doesn't that forego the Great Commission? Go out and preach the gospel to everyone in the world? I mean,
okay,
if he's going to pick them anyway, you know, what's the point?
Okay, let me ask you, does the Bible teach predestination? Does it?
Well, yeah, I can see where it says the chosen. Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
I honestly do.
Hold on. Hold on. I've done this 1,000 times, so hold on. So, does the Bible teach predestination? The answer is, yes, it does.
Yes.
Does it teach election? Yes, it does. Does it also teach us to go out and evangelize? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
So we're to believe both, that we're to go evangelize and do this. We don't know the means by which God calls his people in, or the criteria, or anything. He doesn't tell us. As my friend Bill McKeever said...
I understand that. There's so much confusion around it. Yeah, you know.
Ultimately, people aren't sure. There's confusion because people don't pay attention to the Word of God and submit themselves to it. Because they're humanists in their hearts, and they rebel against the truth of God's great sovereignty, and so there's confusion because they don't want God to be God. They want themselves to be in place. They want themselves to have the sovereignty.
Yeah.
They want themselves to be the ones who's the final choice. They're arrogant, they're egotistical, mm-hmm. and they're humanists. It doesn't mean they're not saved, but they have not gotten rid of that area of sinfulness from their hearts and minds yet. The fact is, God predestines,
like
God elects, God chooses.
It's just,
I got it.
Yeah.
The fact is, God does these.
It kind of ties in. One final point. It kind of ties in with the original sin. That, you know, okay, granted, Adam sinned and imparted sin into the world, but you know, I think Calvinists take it to the personal level, and so everybody's born as a sinner. I can understand that on a theory.
Yes, that's true.
In the real world. You know, the baby that dies.
Real world?
You know, taking its first breath. Isn't there some comfort for somebody like, well, he wasn't chosen, I guess.
Well, hold on. Okay.
I mean, it seems pretty hard.
well, hold on. You're not understanding the issues, okay? So, original sin is the sin that Adam did. It's passed down to us.
Right.
This is Romans 5:19. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. So by Adam's sin, the many were made sinners. That's what the Bible says. Okay, and through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 5:12. So babies... Now, just hear me out. Babies are born fallen. They're born sinful. They're born with a fallen nature. But it doesn't mean they just go to hell if they die. I mean, I've lost an infant.
God help us
son.
If they do.
Well, look, here's the thing. If they do, that's God's business. If they don't, that's God's business. I know that people want to say, well, they can't go to hell because they're so cute. Well, that's humanist philosophy. I'm just saying, logically, we don't know exactly. And so don't say, this is how it is. You can say, oh, I believe this. And so my opinion is that all babies who die go to heaven. I can't prove it from Scripture.
I hope so, too.
And I have a couple of reasons.
Well, I agree with you. I certainly hope so. But, I hope so. For instance, but from, the Bible, as just recent as, the 1800s, one-third of the children born in America didn't make it to 5 years old. So I'm not saying,
that's irrelevant to what we're talking about. The issue.
We also worship a loving God. Now, where's the love in that? You know what I'm saying? If they all go to hell. Look, there's no love in that.
Yes, there is. Let me tell you. You got to stop thinking in humanistic terms. God is love by nature, 1 John 4:8. We all are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2. We are all by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. We all belong separated from God and judged because it's our nature. God's love is such that he saves us. That's where the love is. And for someone to say, well, it's not loving if he lets a baby go. If someone says, it's not loving if he lets a baby go to hell, I'm going to say to them, show me in the Bible where that's the right statement to say. Because people have sentimentality. And it may be true, it may not be true, but go to the Word of God and find it in the Word of God. That's what I say to people. And too many people, what they do is just feel what they want to be right, and then God has to agree to that. And that's sin. You need to stop. You need to go, what does the Bible say?
I'll tell you, I take consolation in the story of Jesus and the children that almost come to him as a child. So it kind of tells me, on my personal gut level, that he makes some provision for the little innocents. That's just me. Can I find it where it says in the Bible, babies don't go to hell? Of course not. It's not in there. But, Jesus had that story where he brought the children to him and said, all must come to me as these.
As children.
And I cannot
with faith,
quote you to verse.
The trusting.
It's well known.
Yes. It's as children who are faithful and trust. They just trust. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the verses I go to in support of the idea that all babies who die go to heaven. But it does not approach.
Well, I agree with you.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, listen, you've explained it very well, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks. Okay, well, God bless. All right, let's get to Max from South Carolina. Max, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, I love you, brother.
Hey.
The last caller,
good.
He had some really good points. I'm still struggling. I had to ask the screener, how do I ask this about predestination? I guess I don't fully understand it.
Just give it a shot. Go for it. Because we've only got like 5 minutes, so go ahead.
You're saying, I know, we're right there on the edge. Predestined means only a certain amount of people will be saved. Am I taking that wrong, right or wrong?
Of course, only a certain amount of people are going to be saved. God, from all eternity, knows exactly what's going to happen and how many people are going to be saved. Only a certain number are saved, of course.
But even in 1 Timothy 2:4, God wants everyone to be saved.
He desires all to be saved.
Truth.
Yeah. So here's a question, okay? I've done this a thousand.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me jump in. We only have so much time, so I'm going to go a little bit quicker than I normally would. But I'm very familiar with that. And you can cross-reference that with 2 Peter 3:9 as well. He wants all to be saved. So here's a question. Okay, it's a trick question. You ready? Would God ever do anything or speak in such a way so people would not be saved? It's a trick question. Okay, what do you say? Come on.
My wife is saying yes. Yes, my wife.
Good for her. Your wife, give your wife a good hug and a high five because she got it right. Okay, let me show you. This is in Mark 4:10-12, and they're asking about the parables. Why are you speaking in parables? And he answers in verse 12 or 11. To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside the kingdom, get everything in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Whoa! He speaks in parables so they won't be forgiven. Okay, now I'm not contradicting Scripture with Scripture. It's if God wants that, that's the case. He wants everyone to be saved, and it means equally in every sense, then we have to harmonize it with the rest of Scripture. That God, that Jesus speaks in parables so people will not be saved. You've got to do that, you yeah. see. We're not going to be able to finish this today. And then in 2 Thessalonians 2:11, oh, man. I mean, just to add fire on the, I mean, flame on the, fuel on the fire, excuse me. Here's what it says. This is in the end times. The Antichrist is coming and things like that. And for this reason, only with, well, let me see. He comes with power and signs and false wonders and deception and things like that. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. What? Why? No, he wants everyone to be saved. What people mean by that is, generally, he's the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer dude dressed in a woman's nightgown, standing at the door of your heart, asking permission for you, in your wisdom, to let him in. It's all up to you. Please, oh, come on, everybody. Look, if God wants to save somebody, just take a look at what he did with Paul. Paul was going out killing the Christians. He hated them. And Jesus said, yep. You're mine. He converted them. So why doesn't God do that with everybody? He does it right there in Acts 9. There's all
I know real kinds. Quick, I just want to speak one.
Go ahead.
I just want to speak one thing. I just look for Jesus for my hope because I'm struggling with a lot of things. And okay. to hear some of this, it's a little confusing still, even right now. Maybe I need to call you back tomorrow.
Yes, but call back tomorrow.
I look to hear him from hope, and I don't want to fall short, you know.
Let me give you the hope that's in it. He chose you from the foundation of the world, and his loving thoughts for you are infinite in number. He didn't leave it up to you, the sinful whims of your own self. He called you. Why he chose you, I don't know, but he did. And he will never leave you and never forsake you, no matter what you're going through. You cannot shake his love for you or his commitment to you, because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. You're one of the chosen ones, right? You believe. There's no way he'll abandon you. Okay?
Thank you, brother.
That's the truth, man. Just think about this. If he predestined you from the foundation of the world, that means from forever ago, he chose you. His thoughts of you are infinite in number in a loving way. You remember that. And then compare it with what you're going through. Why is he allowing it? There's a reason. You call back tomorrow.
Exactly.
We'll talk. We're out of time.
There you go.
All right? Okay,
I'm going to have to call back. Yep. Thanks.
You call back.
Thanks,
right,
Matt.
God bless.
All right, brother.
Okay. All right. Hey, folks. Sorry about that. And Martin from Charlotte, North Carolina. Give me a call back tomorrow if it's predestined. Hey. God bless everybody. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.